Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Bex Williams. I was chatting earlier. This lady obviously needs no introduction. The beautiful Michelle Mouton. And a familiar friend next to you, Michelle.
Oh, yes, I didn't see the car.
No.
it was outside before.
It was outside before, but it's very much in here now. So Michelle and I are just going to have it's called the fireside chat. So we have a few candles. We're not quite feeling the warmth, are we? Not quite yet.
Not yet.
But we're just going to have a general chat about Michelle's amazing career. We told you earlier on, she's celebrating 50 years in the sport, which is just phenomenal. It really is. It really is phenomenal. And I was just going through her WRC statistics. Michelle did 50 WRC events, 4 victories, the only female driver to ever win a WRC event. And and she didn't just win the event, she won them in style. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail later. But I told you earlier on that I produce a podcast called WRC Backstories. And last year, we interviewed Michelle, and we went right back to the start of it all. And you spoke very briefly earlier on about having support from your parents growing up, but you weren't introduced to rally until you were 22.
22.
Mm. So tell us about how it started for you, Michelle.
It started by a competition of rock and roll.
Yeah, so a rock and roll competition. This lady was exactly. At a dance. She was doing a thing on the dance floor, and what happened?
Yeah, it started like that because a friend of mine, we were doing the competition together, and when they stop the music and you have to wait that they eliminate a couple, he started to talk and said, I am going to Corsica, I am doing a rally there, and... A rally? What is a rally? With your car? Yes, with my car. And so I was excited, and he explained me how it works and everything. So finally, he proposed me to go with them and his co-driver to do the Ricky. And I accepted. And I went, and I did all the Ricky on the back of the car. And I could see that together, it was not going very, very well. And after the rally, I could see sometimes he was writing some note that the driver was saying. He didn't write everything because I was on the back, so I was looking everything. And so to make the story short, after the rally, he proposed me to co-drive for him. And the first event was Monte Carlo 73. So Monte Carlo for me was, I didn't know anything about the world championship, so... So I started my first co-driving in the World Championship event. And it went quite well, and we did a few rallies together. But my father was also following us all the time, and after a few events, he told me that, I know you like to drive. I was starting to drive, I was 14, so, between 14 and 22, I have been driving a lot. And I know you like to drive, so I would prefer that I buy a car for you. I will pay for a season, and if you are good enough, you continue. If you are not good, you stop. But I will pay for one season in the good condition, with the good material. And he bought me an Alpine Renault, and here I am. I have to start. I didn't know anything about. I remember the first stage I did, my foot was shaking on the throttle, like we all know about. And And here I started, and I didn't know anything about what I have to do. Okay, I knew we have to go fast, but that's all. And I first did a rally, as I said previously, only with women. And then the second rally was the most difficult one in France, the Tour de France. And so here I am, and I did the first season. At the end of the season, I heard that I was already lady champion in France. So I got my first sponsor, and I continue 84, 85, and I continue like that. So without a competition, rock and roll competition, I would have not started the motorsport. But it's true.
I think what Michelle is saying, that if you get the opportunity to party,
yeah,
you need to do it because you never know where the opportunities will come from. But how great your dad was, Michelle, to say, you know, here you go, here's the money for a season. I want you to do this properly.
Yeah.
I am putting my faith in you. I mean, that was an amazing thing for him to do.
And he didn't think you are a woman, you have to show them anything. You know, it was not a question at all. What I understood also, of course, afterwards, that he would have loved to do what he proposed to me. And it was too late for him, and of course, he was hoping that I could do something.
And you did do something. I mean, but I love the fact that you started as a co-driver first before you switched into the driving seat, because I think it's so important to learn the skill that the co-driver has to have, because that helps you understand the driving a little bit as well.
It understand. And at the same time, when I was co-driving, I was not impressed by what I could see next to me, you know. He didn't impress me a lot, so for me, I thought it was easy to do it, you know?
Wow. No, okay.
When you have never had a time stage, I mean, you don't know what it is, you know? It's when you see the clock that you can realize if you are fast or not, but I was not impressed at all. It's true.
But you'd never, you know, obviously you'd never competed, you'd never done rallying until that point in your life, but you liked to drive your father's car at home. I remember you telling me this. And you got behind the wheel at a pretty early age, yes?
14.
14.
Yeah.
And 14. The legal limit was a bit higher, I think, at that point.
18, yes.
So at 14 years of age, Michel Mouton is hooning around the roads of the south of France.
I remember the first time my father was in the kitchen, and, you know, we had the big properties for perfume. My hometown is the capital of perfume, Grasse. And so we were growing roses and jasmine. And so I steal the car with some friends, and I said, push me, and I have to start this bloody car. And I started, and my father was in the kitchen. He saw his car, and he saw somebody was stealing his car. And then he saw somebody small in the car, and it was me. It's true.
I love that.
It's true.
I love that. So the early days of your career was a lot of competition, obviously.
In France.
In France.
Yes.
And that is where you learned your trade.
Yes. I mean, you know, when you start, you do what is around your hometown, and but you know, south of France, it's a big place for rallying. We have a lot of rallying in south of France, including Monte Carlo. So I did few rallies, and everything went well.
It did go well. You did have the dream career, in the sense that you were really producing results. However, I remember you telling me that there was a time where maybe you were becoming, not complacent, that's not the word, but you knew you had to put everything into it. And did your dad say to you at one point, you absolutely need to focus here?
Yeah.
Get serious, Michelle.
I know what you mean. Yeah, because, you know, I was partying a lot, and I love to enjoy life. And
cheers to that.
Yeah.
Life's to be enjoyed.
Yes. And it was one point, one evening, I, you know, after many runs, he came to me and he said, look at the result. He didn't say anything else. And then it was 8 or 9 in the classification. So I thought, okay, now I have to be serious for the future. I will stop everything, you know, smoking, drinking, everything. Drinking only water, maybe it's not fun. So I said, water or champagne? And since 40 years, I drink only champagne.
It's true.
It's true.
We've got a lovely story. I'm kind of jumping on here, but I'm just going to pick little points from Michelle's career. But a good few years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, we were at Rally Argentina together. And a lovely father and son had bought you a beautiful bottle of champagne.
Yes, it's true.
And Michelle said to myself and a couple of the other girls, tonight we drink the champagne. And it was a school night. It was rally week. We drink the champagne tonight. So we sat down. It was only four of us together. We drink the champagne. And Malcolm Wilson, the boss of M Sport Ford,
yes,
comes to our table. And he's like, girls, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're drinking the champagne. And he looked at the bottle and he said, I've been gifted one of these bottles as well. I'll go and get it. Actually, I'll ring the service park. They can bring it over. And they brought over the champagne and we drank that as well.
Yes.
And it was quite a difficult day of broadcast the next day, I can tell you. But what was interesting that night is that we'd had a few glasses and we were a little bit merry. And we were testing Michelle and Malcolm on their careers. How many wins did you get? How many second places? How many third places? And I was amazed at how little you and Malcolm knew about your own careers.
Yes.
It was astounding. The wins, yes, of course, naturally. Yeah. But when we came to second places, third places, it was like, I don't know. No. You tell me.
I don't remember.
But you're not such a massive fan of the statistics. It's not so important to you, no?
There is even an event I don't remember. No, it's true.
Talk to me about the events you do remember, though, and talk to me about the first WRC win, because that was special. 1981.
Yeah.
San Remo.
Yes, San Remo.
And just such an incredible event.
Yeah, 2,800 kilometers, 62 special stage.
62 stages. 62.
Yeah. 8 hours of racing. 5 days and five nights. And it was a big event, mixed on gravel and asphalt. One first etap on asphalt, then on gravel, and the last part again on asphalt. So it was a long rally, long event. You know, the rallies at that time were like marathon. And so at the beginning, I was not so good. And then little by little, I started to improve. And at the end, I was leading. I don't know, I think it was more than 1 minute 30 something. Mm. When we, just before arriving to San Remo, we heard a big noise on the car and we lost the calipers. And so we have to stop quickly to change with the service, and we were not sure to arrive on time. And finally, I managed to arrive with 32 seconds for the last night in San Remo, leading in front of Ari Vatanen, who was playing the championship. I was not playing, he was playing the title for the championship. And here, after four nights and 4 days, you have to do the last night, a long stage, 42 kilometer. And of course you are completely tired. And when we arrive in the hotel at San Remo, normally you go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours and then you start again for all night. I couldn't fall asleep. First of all, I said to Fabrice, we have to go back to the stage to check our notes. So we took the car, a normal car. We went for the loop of 42 kilometers. Then come back, trying to fall asleep. I couldn't sleep. I have my chiropractor with me, who helped me a lot. I could sleep 2 hours. And we started for the last night. And I remember because for me, that step was very important. When we arrive on the starting line, I look at Fabrizia and I said, now we start this stage, not like the last stage of the rally, but like if it was the first one. That means mentally, I didn't want to get any pressure. I didn't want to, you know, to feel, because you have to remember also that the quattro on gravel was very, very good and a big advantage, but not on asphalt. The car was understeering a lot, and so it was you know, the Ford Escort was very good, and with an Harry Vatanen behind the wheel, it was really a big risk. And I knew that Harry was going for the, he didn't want to be second and be beaten by me, and he wanted to finish and to win for sure. So I said to Fabrizia, one of us will make a mistake. So we start this stage, doesn't matter what happened, but we start without pressure. And we did it, and middle of the stage, Harry Vatanen hit a rock and stop. And so we could finish and we won the rally. So of course it was very important, and it was important for the team, for all the mechanic. I remember, you know, they put flowers on the bonnet. It was just great. But what I remember, it's, you know, the strength to be able at this level to say, I was proud of myself, because it's not easy to say, you know, don't attack, don't try to give the maximum, you know. And so this helped me for the future, because I always remember that, you know, I thought if I can win today, I can win maybe tomorrow again. So it gave me some strength, really.
It was amazing, amazing performance, and the first ever female to win a WRC event. It's something so special, and it's not been matched again. Yeah. Not been matched again.
And you know, you have to remember also that that time we were not four or five drivers able to win. I mean, we were like 15 drivers able to win. So, you know, the challenge was difficult. And yeah, and you know, what is important also is that you feel that you are progressing. Is that this is, I was also very proud of it, because I could feel my progress. I could feel that I was quicker, and that I could manage the pressure and not to have any, you know, to go off or anything. At this level, I was happy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. What was the family's reaction to the news, you know, and the fact that you were on the top step of the podium? You know, your father had put this huge amount of faith in you.
Very proud, but very discreet, and so he didn't say so much.
No. And I mean, always, you know, your friends at home as well, you know, everyone around you in your friendship group, you're off doing something completely extraordinary at the time. I mean, did anyone, were they amazed by you, or were they all very just passive as well?
You know, I don't know. I always,
it's a French thing, I think, right?
But I don't know, in my mind, I don't know how, if I am normal or not, but, you know, I had the rally time, and when I was at home, I was like another person. I never mixed both, you know?
Yeah.
But when I was in rallying, don't talk to me about the rest, you know? I was completely focused on that. So when I was going back home with my friends, we talk about many things, but not about motorsport.
Yeah.
You know? It has always been like that.
Yeah, and it's
and I don't, if you don't ask me, I don't speak about motorsport.
Yeah, we know. I mean, we really have to encourage Michelle to talk about her life and her achievements, because she's so humble. And we want to celebrate you all the time, because what you've done is amazing. We've talked a lot about women in motorsport today, obviously, because we're at the Women in Motorsport Summit. But I want to know, because obviously I wasn't reporting on your action back then, and I wish I was, but I was too young. I think I was four when you had your first win. But I would have loved to have been there to report on that. What was the feedback around you? You and Fabrizia, you were the women very much in the man's world at the time, and you had just done this extraordinary thing. Was there any negative feedback from your competitors and rivals or not?
No, not at this level. Before, yes, when I started, you know, when you have your standard car, like the Alpine was a Group 3 standard car. You couldn't touch the car, you know, everybody has the same car. So at that time, yes, there were some rumor that, you know, maybe I was going fast because my engine was not, you know, conform, or, you know, and until I won the Group 3 in Corsica. So then it was a FIA, under FIA scrutineering, and my engine was declared conform, the car was accepted, and so from that point, no more rumor. After that, they understood that it was not the car, maybe, but
it was
the driver.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
One of my favorite stories that you talked about, and I have to say, when you told me, when you were telling the story, which you will in a minute, I had the biggest smile on my face. Talk to me about the renegotiation of your contract with Audi. So you've won your first ever WRC event, and you're renegotiating your contract to head into the next year. And you were doing all the negotiating yourself. She had no manager.
No,
it
never.
Was Michel Mouton in the room with a lawyer.
Yes, and San Remo was one of the last races of the season, end of October. So, yeah, he said to me, so we have to discuss about next year and you know, the amount of money for next year. I said, we don't have to talk. You just have to double it.
Right?
And I promise you, if he would have said no, I would have said goodbye. And I would have stopped. So, but he accepted. He was clever.
What was his expression, though, when you just said, no, no, you just double my salary?
It went like this out, you know. I didn't think, you know.
No, but that's good that you said it. But his face must have been like, what?
Yes. He was a little bit shocked, yeah.
I'm sure he was.
Yes.
And
yes.
You continued then to negotiate throughout your career? It was you?
All my career, yes.
I mean, if you were to give some advice now today to the people here, the people
watching.
Take
somebody.
Was it a lot of pressure? Did you want?
No, I never had any pressure. You know, for money, I didn't have any pressure at all. But I was not good at all because I don't like to negotiate or anything. And I just felt that it was good for me and it was enough. But if I would have had a manager or somebody, for sure, I would have got much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You went on to have wins at some really classic events on the calendar. So we have Portugal, which we talked a little bit about earlier, Acropolis, and Brazil. I mean, all really difficult events. And we go back to Portugal every year on the championship, and every year, Michel is mobbed by spectators. And you said to me a couple of years ago, you know, they haven't forgotten. And I'm thinking, of course they haven't forgotten.
No, but after 40 years, you think, you know, it's
that's too old. That's your modesty, though. And you're,
it's not modesty.
It
is. I am like that, you know. I am here today. I don't think about the past or anything. So, you know, what people have done a long time ago is good, fantastic. They did a fantastic thing, but, you know, I am more living today. So it's the same for me. You know, I think what I did in the past, who is interested by that? I mean, I don't make any effort.
It's true,
but I am true when I am saying that. You know?
You live every day for the day and look forward rather than looking back, which is why... Yes. Miss Mouton, where are all your trophies stored? Where do you keep your trophies?
In a shed.
In the shed. In the shed. Comparison, Fabrizia, co-driver, has got some beautiful displays.
All
glass
in
cabinet.
Flat.
Lovely.
Everywhere.
And then yours are in the shed.
No, I cannot live with a trophy.
So there's not one trophy in the house at all?
Not at all, no. No one.
No?
No. No, no.
But then it's all up here, I guess.
I don't know. So for me, it's not important. I mean, it's what I have in mind is okay.
Yeah.
You know, what I did.
You talked about the Pikes Peak drama and amazing success earlier on today. But when you look back across the course of your incredible career, what would you pick as a personal highlight? What is the most important thing to you from it, the most important win or maybe not even a win?
I always answer that it's San Remo because what I said previously, you know, it gave me so much strength to believe that I was able because, you know, it's not easy to. From the beginning when I started, my only motivation was to reach men's level, but not men's level. They were only men, so it's not difficult to. to wish about something else. But I never tried to say, oh, now I can become, you know, champion or anything. I never thought about that. But I couldn't accept to have the same car and not being able to do the same time. you know. To be in a with a teammate being 2 or 3 seconds by kilometer faster than me, I couldn't accept. Maybe too much pride, I don't know if it's a question of pride or if it's a question of... But this was my only motivation, you know. And when I started with Anu Mikola, who is nearly world champion at that time, it was difficult, and you learn and you learn. And but I remember, you know, being so far behind him, you know, in the beginning. Make me crazy. I was crazy. So I was thinking how I can go faster, and I learned the left foot braking. I learned everything to be able to, and this was my only motivation. So why we were saying that? What was your question? I forgot your question.
I've forgotten my question. I don't know what is in this,
why I started like this.
You mentioned Hannu Mikkola, though, and this is Hannu's car that we have here.
Yeah.
He was such a gentleman.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I only got to meet him on a handful of occasions, and every time he was one of those drivers who was so generous when you interviewed him. He gave you a lot of information, a lot of time. You know, it must have been a great teammate.
It was a great, great time, and he was a great man, really, because he was talking to me, you know, he was an engineer, Hannu, and... He was doing all the testing, of course, and then he was coming to me and reporting to me and explaining to me. And sometimes I stop him, I said, Anu, don't explain. Tell me just how I have to fix the car to be able to do like you. But, you know, don't explain, because I am not mechanic at all. I don't know anything about mechanic. I had good feeling for the car. I could hear, you know, the difference on my car. This I could do it. And the mechanic didn't listen to me, unfortunately. But Anu was just great, and we were really a team. We wanted to win for Audi. It was just the beginning of this four-wheel drives, and it was something completely new. So, you know, it was really a good family. And then Stig joined the following year, and it was the same, except the fight between the Finn and the Swede.
Of course.
Yes, of course. But it was, it was a nice time, really, and gentlemen. Really.
Talk to me about your relationship with Fabrizia and how that started, because there's a lot of people in competition in the room and watching, and, you know, finding the right co-driver, building that trust is so important. Yeah. How did you and Fabrizia get together?
I have been very, very lucky because Fabrizia, okay, she's Italian, and when I was in Ingolstadt with Audi, and of course, I asked, but I knew the answer. When I asked if I could go with a man as a co-driver, the answer was no. They wanted a woman with me. So I didn't know. My own co-driver was not able to follow and to continue with me. But, you know, by rumor, we knew that Fabrizia was Italian, and she was a bike rider. And then she was also trying to drive herself in the car. And then finally, she changed because she didn't see any progress. She changed for co-driving. Luckily, she was speaking French also. So we contacted her, and she said yes immediately. So we tried, you know, like you go and you try on the road, you try with the notes. And it went well very quickly. And Fabrice has been, you know, great support, and I always repeat how important a co-driver he is, really, because we didn't have to talk so much, you know, we understood each other, we had the same goal, and so this is it's luck also, because, you know, it could have been the wrong one, and it has been the good one.
Yeah,
really.
You had a very similar temperament
to
each other, you know,
focus
the personalities
on what we are doing,
matched.
It is
important.
Yeah, it has been very important.
What I've loved about your career is that you excelled at what you did, and you stopped, you had a family, you concentrated on that area of your life, made that excellent, but then you came back to rallying, and you've given back to rallying.
Yeah.
Everything that you took out of it back in the day. The amount of influence that you've had over people, the amount that you do for safety and pushing things forward, I'm in awe of. And you know, you are still going and still so passionate.
Yeah.
When other people have just gone, bugger it, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
I want to live the easy life. You're at the coalface.
Yeah, but
you are still going.
for me, it's a new challenge, and every time I do something, I try to do it well. So it's a new challenge to try to keep the level of safety at the highest point. And I have still the energy to do all the events, and I am not tired. I am never tired. So
no.
No?
She has more energy than I do. And
I am never tired.
It's incredible. talk to me about the challenge, though, of because in your role as RFIA safety delegate, Michelle is driving every single stage, but she's not driving.
No.
She is in the passenger seat, yeah, surveying the land, making yes, sure that everyone is stood where they should be. But you're not driving. Now, I'm a very bad passenger, and I can imagine
you're
an even worse passenger.
Yes. The beginning have been very, very difficult. Very difficult. And I remember the first one, of course, again, was Monte Carlo, the first time. And the organization gave me a very nice person. And he was very happy to be with me. And I said, you know, I am very bad passenger. And so we went, we started the stage, it was dry. And unfortunately, when we arrived in Gap, we had the snow. Mm-hmm. And so we started the stage. And as soon as we reached the top and we started downhill, he looked at me and he said, what I have to do? It was full of snow. What I have to do? I was really, I was like this, shocked, really. And I said, you do anything you want, don't break.
Brilliant.
This was my first experience. Since then, I asked them to give me a driver who know how to drive on snow.
Scary.
But in the beginning, it was difficult, yes.
But well, yes. I see you on every single event, and you're like a work colleague for me, as well as
yes,
a friend,
sure,
of course. So, when we come to situations like this where we're chatting, I'm interviewing you last year when we did the podcast, not that you forget what you have achieved, but when I go back and I check all my notes, I'm like, wow, it's just so incredible. Do you think we will ever see a woman like you in rallying again?
To be honest, I think, the rally my time were shooting more women than the sprint today.
Yeah.
Because I think women, we are better on the endurance for the long effort than to go the peak. And most of the time I have seen, men being faster than me in the beginning, but then, boom, going down later. And I don't know if today I would have been, so successful, maybe. I'm not sure, because what I like it, it was a long stages, longer it was, better I was, because we know how to go progressively on the effort, and I don't know, but I have been also at the right time, because if you think, of course I know why Audi chose me, they could have chosen somebody else, but I know that I did some result and everything, but I was also there at the time where it was the good time to be, mm. Maybe they would have called somebody else, and I would have stayed French champion and not doing more. So sometimes you need also to be at the right time.
Yeah, I think it's what one of our panelists, was it India, said earlier, that there's a right time for everything.
Sure, sure.
And you need to take everything at your own pace, and
sure,
things will will happen, and that's...
And also I remember that I had to fight more in the first stage, and I have been working on that, trying to change my brain, because the first stage I always wanted to check that everything was going well, that I was feeling the car well, that everything was okay. So I was losing time, that then is difficult to catch. And when I realized that, I have been trying to work to do like men, to start without thinking and full throttle. Yeah, but you are laughing, but it's an effort. Huh? It's not easy. Huh? It's not easy. And it has been a big effort for me to do that. And I don't know, it's maybe the difference between a man and a woman. But nevertheless, I think to have this very difficult endurance rally helped me quite a lot also. Yeah.
Michelle, we're all in awe. And thank you so much for chatting with me at the fireside here.
Everyone, so now we can
hope you all enjoyed Michelle's chat. Big cheers to Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you.